Coming up, the 12 days of Chris Curtismas at 8:45. Our very own Grinch, Chris Curtis, has like a bunch of whole great prizes to re-gift for you for the holiday season. So 8:45 is when you can call. I will tell you when to call, and you'll have the opportunity to keep or re-gift yourself. But we got to get back to the rest of the news with Courtney right now. Courtney?
Five members of a film crew were rescued yesterday from Nara Pond in Acton after they fell out of a kayak while shooting a zombie movie. From a production company out of New York. Uh-huh. Four out of the five were able to get out on their own, but the fifth had to be saved by firefighters. They were all transported to a local hospital. And besides being cold, they were all cleared to go.
The world needs more zombie movies, I think. We don't have enough.
Love a good zombie movie.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
Well, you look forward to the actual zombie apocalypse, like you brought it up many times. Mm-hmm. Survival-wise, you think you would be at the top of the food chain.
So. Yeah, I feel like I would be up there when it comes to the hierarchy of the food chain.
Yeah.
You know, just because pure size, I think that always helps
that's
you
an
out.
Advantage.
Yeah, that's an advantage. Yeah. You know, I think it's people tend to shy away when they see bigger people.
Well, your size might dwindle a little bit because of the lack of food that is available.
Yeah, that's all right, though. We'll eat somebody.
I
think it's more like, because people always want to surround themselves with, what if somebody tries to take over our compound? Mm-hmm. We need people that might have the ability to say, hey.
The trailer's out there for the new 28 Days Later,
yes.
28 Years Later, whatever they're mm-hmm. calling the sequel.
Well, those zombies, very different. Those zombies move at a very high rate of speed.
Yes, they do. Yeah. That's a problem. That would be a problem for you, obviously,
unlike
me.
Unlike the old school, Night of the Living Dead type of zombies where
Walking
they move.
Dead. I prefer the Walking Dead. I mean, they were kind of walking. They never really ran in that.
Why? Did you? That show probably had a conclusion.
I think it's still going on.
Still Walking
going
Dead?
On.
Yeah.
God.
I don't think it's been going the original on. Walking Dead show concluded.
Oh, did it? Okay.
It did, but then there was
those are the spin-offs. Worst.
They have like 18 spin-offs.
There's Fear the Walking Dead, which I believe is also concluded. They have the Daryl Dixon saga, which is ongoing.
That show went a couple seasons too long. Like I brought up, I brought up Woodbury the other day and the Governor. They should have ended right around there. Mm-hmm. Like they went on way too long.
Huh?
You know what Greg hated about Titanic? That they showed the sinking.
No, Curtis, I just why are you going back to this?
It's the dumbest take of all time because all these shows you love have a conclusion.
Right.
Now, in the particular case which came up during Courtney's lead, which was about how she loved the Yellowstone series finale, mm-hmm. I brought up The Sopranos just because upon reflection, I didn't like it the day after.
Mm-hmm.
But upon reflection, I enjoyed the way they did that one particular series finale.
But it's just to be fair, and I love you. That is because that was the cinephile take at the time.
Could be.
It was the, I am very refined. I bet you and Spaz yelled at each other every day for that. And Spaz was the knuckle dragger that wanted a conclusion, and you were the the highbrow.
Maybe it was the fact that mm-hmm. they included Wiggy's favorite band of all time, Journey, and the way the music was woven into that, the use of the jukebox.
But I don't feel like I found.
Oh, that's why you like it.
I don't feel like, Greg, I found many people. I don't know many people. I don't think I know any people who like the way The Sopranos ended.
No one.
But
did you. Were you looking at the text machine earlier when we were talking about this? People were texting in at Free Random saying they loved it.
All of those people are the book was better than the movie people.
Oh, yep.
Like, that is the same type of take where it's like, I just like to create my own ending in my mind, and I want to think about something for years after it concludes.
To
Nobody
be fair, nine
that.
Times out of ten, the book is better than the
okay,
movie.
Okay,
so.
Yeah.
I was like,
You are a perfect example of a book is better than the movie guy.
Yes, what? Yes, I am. Thank you.
What's going on with Tony?
That's I do like to read.
They ended in the diner? That's it? And I think most of the people I know were like, what? Did you see that ending? I spent 8 years for this.
Do you think Tony Soprano made it out of the diner? I think not. No. Do you think Meadow made it out of the diner? No.
So
maybe Meadow. maybe Meadow did not go inside because Tony was taken out and she heard it. So maybe Meadow survived.
Didn't they end up doing a Sopranos movie?
It was like a prequel thing.
Yes, I hate the prequels.
Yeah, that's the dumbest
it was with his actual son. Because the question I would have had, I would have to now go back and watch it. Like, where was his conflict, if you believe it was the two black guys that killed him, where was his conflict with...
Seems on brand.
Like, where was his conflict with the black characters? Like,
well, I think that they were just... Somebody was doing a hit on him, obviously. Like,
but what was the Italian guy who walked by? Who went to the bathroom.
Maybe he was the hitman.
Right, like, so now you're not really... Now you think it's the black guy, you think it's the Italian guy.
I would assume David Chase was saving some of that stuff for a film, and that would have happened if...
Tony didn't pass away?
Yes, if the...
James Gandolfini
so didn't eat a bad noodle or whatever.
I think it was the six piña coladas.
Do you hear, like, a gunshot at the end?
No. Nothing.
So they could have all just been enjoying the diner.
Right.
Well, that's my point. Like, we don't know that.
Power could have gone out.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. 55-year-old Louis Nu was enjoying her time in Taiwan when she decided to take a selfie with an approaching train. Something that, you know, I don't think you should ever do.
Nope.
Turning your back to an oncoming train is not great if you're watching on Twitch. Mitch has the photos just moments before it happened.
Okay.
And he has the photos of after it happened.
Okay.
The train blew their horn to try to warn her that it was approaching, but she was trying to get the perfect angle. The sharp corner of the train slammed into her right shoulder. She was knocked to the ground. She was taken to a local hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. She broke her foot, and the train stopped. Those on it suffered an hour-long delay.
Yeah.
You big dummy.
A lot of paperwork.
So not only did she nearly kill herself, but she screwed up everybody else's day.
Travel.
Wherever they were trying to go. Like, what a jacket.
You big dummy.
Yep. To get a photo, like a selfie?
Yes.
Okay.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And now we've got influencers in the news.
It's influencers in the news on the Greg Hill Show.
AI has determined the woman with the perfect body.
Okay, so they used artificial intelligence
to look at aesthetic factors such as symmetry, proportion, and overall harmony of the body.
Okay, and to find the woman in the world with the perfect body.
Yep.
Okay, who is she?
25-year-old Carol Rosalyn, a Brazilian fitness influencer. Mitch has photos.
Oh, it's a real person.
Real person, yes.
Yeah.
AI went through the internet and found...
The entire interwebs.
Okay.
Every photo, every single photo of every woman ever.
Correct.
And this woman has been determined to have the perfect body.
Yeah.
Okay.
The biggest part that they look at is the hip-to-waist ratio.
Yeah.
Hip-to-weight. Okay.
She has got a pretty good one. Yeah. And you know what?
What does that mean? Wait, what does that mean, though?
So, bigger... Yeah. That's a better angle right there. Yep.
Okay.
Smaller waist, bigger hips.
Yeah.
Big butt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that the thing? I mean,
that's a good size boot. Hey.
I
need to see her standing up because sometimes, you know.
You saw her. Did you see her earlier on Twitch standing up?
No, just from the front, from the behind.
Yeah, Mitch, there's an even go up a little bit more, Mitch. There's like a full mirror
side
pick.
View. I need a little side view.
Okay.
Yeah, there.
Can't really. Yeah, it's not a good enough side view.
I mean, you could tell she's got a bit of a butt, and she's got some nice breasts.
I need a side
view. So she's
view.
Proportionate.
I guess so. All right.
You can't see her personality, so this is a waste of time.
But that's the perfect body, according to AI.
Okay.
They go even further into, like, you know, perfect bodies of the past. Marilyn Monroe, Kim Kardashian.
Big butt.
What's her name?
The big butt is in, I think.
Her name is Carol Rosalyn.
Save that.
Carol with a K.
Big butt is in. Yes. Way in.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Way in.
I mean,
Sir Mix-a-Lot said it way back in the day.
Well, yeah.
Big butt and I cannot lie.
He was ahead of the curve on that one, but yes.
But not everybody likes the big booty.
No.
I feel like butts have kind of gone away.
Yeah. People get intimidated by the big butt. It's it might be too much for me to handle.
Really?
I think that's a lot of people feel that way.
You mean physically or?
Just,
like
physically.
Okay.
Yeah, physically.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, you know, like I said, Cardi B and Lotto.
I prefer like a medium-sized butt. Big butt.
What's medium to you?
Like
M-rat?
M-rat,
see, that's not medium.
M-rat.
What do you mean that's not?
That's like
Small.
Yeah, way small.
See, to me, Emily Ratajkowski has the perfect, she's the perfect body. Yeah. She is very small in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah, we should do a segment on the woman with the most perfect brain.
Yes, we should. You're right about that, Curtis.
Thank you.
All right.
Big butt.
Anything else?
We're going to end with a segment of Would Wiggy Eat It, but it's going to be a drink.
Okay.
Would you eat it?
They look like little dumplings.
Yes, they are.
Chicken palm all day long, baby.
Would you eat it?
I love boneless spare ribs. Corn tortilla.
Would you eat it?
I think 6-inch wieners are the best.
With Wiggy.
So this is going back into the archives, a trending drink online right now called Hot Dr. Pepper. It's a vintage recipe for the holidays back in the 1960s that has resurfaced.
Oh, and it's become wildly popular.
Wildly popular.
Viral.
Yep. You need three ingredients. You need Dr. Pepper, a crock pot, and a lemon to slice thinly. We can hear a bit of the Instagram video.
Ever heard of Hot Dr. Pepper? This is soda on a whole nother level. All you need for this is a 2 liter of Dr. Pepper and a fresh lemon, as well as some kind of slow cooker. I'm going to dump this 2 liter into my crock pot, and then we'll put the lid on and I'll let it warm up.
I set my crock pot on high for about 2 hours, just until the Dr. Pepper is hot, but not simmering too much or boiling.
Now we'll just add in our lemon slices. The spices of Dr. Pepper really work well as a hot drink, and the lemon just brings it all home. Don't knock it till you try it.
Wait a minute, that seems disgusting. Hot soda.
Same.
Yeah, I don't want no hot soda.
Gross.
I don't care. Maybe it's different because it's Dr. Pepper. Some people, I think Dr. Pepper, you either love it or you hate it.
Agreed, I hate it.
I happen to like it.
Yeah, I like Dr. Pepper.
When I was drinking soda decades ago.
I'm more of a Mr. Pibb guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the same thing, or is it a discount thing?
No, it's like a different version of it.
No, I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, it's a knockoff version of it.
Yeah, it's like the Coke version of it, okay. I believe. But I don't know. There's very few places that have it. I just know Chipotle has it, and I'm a big Mr. Pibb guy.
Because it's the knockoff. I like the Dr. Pepper. What is it? The strawberries and cream one is pretty good.
Yeah.
You ever had that?
No.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. They have the Dr. Pepper. They got a bunch of new flavors now, so I like the flavor. I would not drink hot soda.
No.
Me neither. That seems disgusting. I don't like Dr. Pepper to begin with. Cold, hot, whatever. I just don't like the taste.
You should serve this at your Christmas party for everybody.
Yeah, we could add it to the list. We made our list yesterday of errands we need to run this weekend.
Uh-huh. Is everybody going to Christmas? Everybody was invited to Courtney's Christmas party this year.
Yep, they were.
When is it again?
It's Monday.
Monday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you available or?
yeah, I mean, I should be.
It sounds like maybe if something better comes up.
No, I mean, you said it's one of those things, starts at 7 and goes all night.
Yeah, I know Scheim told me that he is going to swing by before going to the Bruins game.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I will be unable to attend, but I will be there in spirit.
Oh, that's all right. It's all right.
What about Jackson? Is Jackson
coming? Was invited?
Has he RSVP'd or?
He has not.
He hasn't. Okay, Jackson, are you attending Courtney's party? Oh, he is. Thumbs up. Yeah.
Great.
What is the attire? Have you told
festive.
Jackson what festive attire?
Festive attire.
Festive grandpa or
yeah, that would do well. Yeah.
All right.
Jackson's first email, Santa was typing in the emails while I was telling him what they were. First email bounced back. Glad we caught that. So
yeah, I would say that Jackson, if he could do festive grandpa, like it's kind of his look.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I don't warm soda. Not my.
No.
Yeah, warm soda.
Hell
not
no.
For me.
Not hell no.
All right, Courtney. Thank you.
Thank you. That
is today's news. It's a Tie Tuesday. Tie Law coming up at 9 on this show after the 12 days of Chris Curtismas at 8:45.
Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Vikings beat the Bears 30-12, and the Falcons beat the Raiders 15-9 in Monday Night Football. There is an update on Patrick Mahomes after his ankle injury on Sunday. He has a high ankle sprain. His status for Saturday against Houston is questionable. The Pats-Bills game has been flexed to 4:25 start on Sunday, and the Bruins are back in action tonight. Continuing their road trip out west, they take on the Flames in Calgary. Puck drop is at 9. Congrats to the University of Vermont, whose men's soccer team won the first national championship in program history. They beat Marshall 2-1. And give the perfect gift this year, 99 restaurant gift cards. They're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus gift card for yourself. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
52 degrees in Boston, feels like 43. Afternoon high in the mid-50s.
That was Gerard Mayo on the show yesterday, and the prevailing wisdom in some parts appears to be that he did himself some damage yesterday on a Walk It Back Monday, Curtis. I mean, I don't know. He went into that game.
He was pissed after the game. He got defensive about the question, and he said, good question, whatever the exact quote was, because he wanted Alex Van Pelt to take heat for the fact that they didn't take a QB sneak. Fact. That's what happened.
Why did he want Van Pelt to take heat?
Because he doesn't want it on his back.
I think Shime, was it your point yesterday?
Yeah, it was my lead.
Yeah, I think Shime's lead is more accurate because, all right, what's the purpose of throwing Van Pelt under the bus? And the reason why, and Shime was spot on, is because the Friday...
Well, because someone else started it?
Yes.
Get out of here.
Are we two?
Yes, Curtis. That's how they act.
No, right. I mean,
it's not.
Supposed to be above the fray as the head coach.
Didn't we?
Yes, and we've learned time and time again this season it doesn't seem like they are.
Didn't we always criticize Bill and Tom for being petty?
Yeah.
Like, didn't we?
Yeah,
like, isn't that petty?
Wait. When did Bill or Tom call out a teammate or a player on their roster at the time?
No. I'm talking about like after the fact, like they were taking petty shots at each other.
Well, right, but when they were no longer working together, they were on the same team, this never happened.
But Bill's always been petty,
right?
Like that. Just because you're a head coach doesn't mean that you're above being petty.
Right? Like,
we see so many that are.
Yeah.
Right. But do we think it's a good quality?
No. But we're not saying whether or not it's a good quality.
Well, you're using it to absolve him from blame.
No, you are making it sound like it's impossible for a head coach to be petty.
I mean, you're bringing it up because you're defending Mayo, saying he was just reacting to what his coach did.
Yes. Right, we're not using it as a defense.
No,
we're just saying that Wiggy is.
Yeah, you are, because Mayo has done, he's done this before this season.
But you're missing the point.
No, we're just explaining why he did it.
Yes.
He points the finger at everybody else.
But nobody's disputing.
Then why did he walk it back if what he did was just a reaction?
Talking to you two are like two people who just crawled out from underneath the rug.
Because we disagree with you?
No, because you make it sound like you don't understand what we're saying. We're just saying that it is possible for head coach to be petty and for people to be petty and be shady when they hear something that was they felt like was shady against them. That's all we're saying.
I disagree. I think that he is feeling heat, as anybody would, and is in the moment, is unfortunately trying to point the blame at everybody else. And he did it on this show with Elliot Wolf when Curtis asked him about the roster. He did it
about the defense?
Early in the season. He did it about special teams when it came to a huge punt return. He did it about players that he can't, once they're on the field, he has nothing to do with how they play and what the result is. I asked
why the defense got worse, and he listed their injuries.
Mm-hmm. Can I propose a conspiracy theory for you, Greg?
Sure, of course.
Maybe if you're right, if this is him trying to deflect heat, maybe the Jonathan Kraft getting caught saying the play calling sucks or is terrible, whatever the word is, I'm paraphrasing, wasn't necessarily by accident. Because the Krafts want to keep Mayo in charge and they want to give him the best opportunity they can. Maybe everybody's trying to deflect heat off of Mayo.
Well, that's what I said yesterday.
So you think?
I know it's just a conspiracy theory.
I love a good conspiracy theory. So
somebody's got to take the fall.
The Krafts were waiting until they were told they were going to be on television, and then they said, "All right, now go ahead and let it fly."
And scene.
Courtney did mention on Monday how the Krafts have relationships with CBS and how, you know, it just, you know, it doesn't seem like that would normally be something that they would get caught seen on television.
I think it's been clear cut that AVP is probably out of town and they're using him as the downfall guy. It's not, I don't think Gerard Mayo is going anywhere. I think AVP is going to lose his job over all of this. And I think the writing's been on the wall. And I don't think that Gerard Mayo sitting down with us every Monday, he doesn't seem like a guy who's worried about his job. And I don't think that Gerard Mayo is an actor. I don't think that he's a great guy. I don't think that he can control his emotions when he's with us. If he was that scared about his job, I think he'd be very mum. I don't think he'd be saying anything at all. I think he seems like a guy who's very, very comfortable in his position right now.
But the other thing,
Gerard Mayo's comfortable?
I think he seems very comfortable.
I get the total opposite.
With the job security?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you say these things when you feel heat.
Oh, my God. But off air, I don't think that he seems worried at all.
I also look at it like we've been criticizing Van Pelt and the offense all season long. And what has Gerard always done? Came to his defense. Never once has he ever, ever thrown Alex Van Pelt under the bus. He always comes to Alex Van Pelt's defense, talks about how Drake May is playing the way he's playing because of AVP. He's always been the guy who has supported Van Pelt. But all of a sudden...
Can we play what Van Pelt said just so we can remind the audience? Because this is key. Because I hadn't heard it until yesterday. And I just think it's best to... Once Shine finds it, we can use it. But go ahead, sorry.
But he hadn't said anything. And then when Shine brought it up, and I didn't hear it all the way, but then once I listened to the audio from Van Pelt answering Rich Keefe's question, that might have been Rich Keefe.
Jones' question.
Oh, Jones' question. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, wow. That is very, and Shine brought it up, and I'm like, Shine, I take, like, because remember, Gerard says they hear everything. They hear everything, and this, it that does seem like a little petty.
Right, it sounds like, from the way you're answering it, you already gave us the answer, but is that, that's purely you, or is that something where Gerard says, hey, let's run the ball here, let's run some clock here, let's be aggressive there. Is that purely your call?
Well, my call, you know, I do what the head coach asks to do, obviously. And then in that situation, I know we wanted to run the football, you know, especially after the interception. We wanted to run the ball. Yeah, but I work for coach, and if coach says to run the ball, I run the ball. If he says be aggressive, I'm aggressive. So I get to call the plays. But again, you know, Coach Mayo makes some of those decisions.
I don't think that's throwing Mayo under the bus at all.
I don't think it is at all. It's
what Mayo says. He says at the end, it's always on me.
So we've criticized this offense for not being aggressive. Yep. Chimes on it every week. And you got the offensive coordinator going, well, we're aggressive when the head coach tells me to be aggressive, because they're saying, well, it doesn't seem like you're that aggressive. Well, if the head coach tells me to run the ball, I run the ball. It's not like you're the it doesn't come across as you're the head coach of the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like you're once again doing acrobatics to try to defend Gerard Mayo.
I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to defend Mayo in any way.
I get it.
I'm not trying to defend Mayo in any way. I'm just saying.
You're saying someone else started it and Mayo finished it.
So I'm saying there was something that was said on a Friday. That was on a Friday, I believe, correct?
Correct.
And then Mayo makes a comment on a Sunday after the game, and the guy who said something on Friday is the offensive coordinator. And then on Sunday, Mayo says something about the offensive coordinator after the game. So I'm just saying, 1 + 1 in my world, when I look at it, equals 2.
And if that's all true, and Mickey, you might be right, then if I'm Robert Kraft, that's a bigger reason to get rid of Mayo.
And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying Shine brought this on. This was Shine's lead yesterday. I'm like, wow, that is really interesting.
This is Nate. Hello, Nate.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Wiggy, you actually sound like Mayo deflecting. You know what I mean? It's kind of sad in a way. Listen, Mayo was weighing in over his head. You could tell him it's like 1 minute he's here, next minute there. He doesn't know how to sit there and say, hey, look, this is the direction I'm going. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to deflect the media. The media is not his friend. Mayo's trying to be friends with everybody, and that's not how the job he took. And the responsibilities that he has is for those men in that locker room. And what you do whatever you have to do to protect those men, okay? And that's from the media, that's from outside sources. You don't do what he's doing, okay? Mm-hmm. For one, he's never had a title. Number two, you know, he needs – look at Vrabel, okay? Vrabel started in Houston. He went to Ohio State. Then he went to Tennessee. Tell me where Mayo started. He started here and only here. So, and he came from the corporate world. He has no experience whatsoever. So it should be a one and done, because I'm going to tell you something. If the Crafts keep going the way they're going, okay, and they haven't been in the playoffs, I mean, what, 1 out of 5 years since Tom's been gone?
Yep.
I'm going to tell you something. They're going to start losing a lot of people, because the way they're running this organization, there's no direction whatsoever. That's why you guys have been saying it for so long now. It's like, where can we put our foot down and go forward? There's no direction.
Did you expect? I think there were not many people who expected this team to be much better going into this season. Did you expect them to be worse?
I took the under.
Did you expect? I did too.
Yeah.
Did you expect them to be worse?
Yeah, that's why I took the under.
Hey, Greg, I love you. This is not, because the first-year head coaches who have never been a coach before almost always struggle. Like, I don't think the fact that this team has 3 wins. With Bill, maybe they have 2 or 3 more. But if you look at all the other coaches, whether it's Bill or whether it's Dan Campbell, whether it's Brian Flores, whether it's Eric Mangini, all these guys, the first year is always bumpy.
Right. Not wins. Like, look at the defense alone. That is supposed to be what the guy is good at.
Right, but in Bill's first year,
regressed.
But Greg, Bill's first year in 2000, the defense got worse, and he's the greatest defensive coach in the history of football.
And most first year head coaches that inherit a bad team generally struggle in their first year.
I think the issue, as I've said, it is not about the on the field, even though that hasn't been good, and it's clearly an issue, Greg. I'm not disputing that. What is going to lose Mayo the job if he loses it is how he's conducted himself, because if he just was, you know, consistent and didn't walk back all these things, I mean, even if he walks back the one soft line, maybe you get a mulligan like that. They're in England. He's jet lagged. He's exhausted. He's mad. Whatever. It's every single week. There's
that
something.
I agree with you, Curtis. Like, his biggest issue is he doesn't know how to talk to the media. That's like his biggest issue.
And that was supposed to be a strength.
And that's the thing that he has to, you know, that he really has to learn from, but he continues to put his foot in his mouth every couple of weeks. And it's like, you would think he'd be learning in that area. And that is the biggest issue. I don't think anybody would have a problem with Mayo if this team was where they are right now, if he never put his foot in his mouth. If he never goes...
But you're going to put your foot in your mouth if you're going to speak more than Bill Belichick did. It's like we're...
But it's all the time, Courtney.
But here in New England, it was for so long, people were like, well, you're not winning, and you're being a jerk, and meh, 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 meh. Now Jerod Mayo is very nice to all the media, answers everybody's questions. He misspeaks, okay? And then it's like we crucify him every week for trying to walk it back after he's out of the heat of the moment. I understand it's not perfect, but he's learning while he's going through. And I completely agree with Greg. This isn't a job that you're supposed to learn on the job. You're not a barista. That's what you said. But at the same time, Jerod Mayo's not saying anything that is like
But Courtney, it's totally different to say something nicely and then not expand your thoughts on it and move on, as opposed to saying something nicely that you constantly have to correct.
Yeah, there's a way.
It's not the Wiggy's trying to explain it away as the words.
Yeah.
It's not the words, it's the actions. It's a leader throwing somebody under the bus. That's his first inclination when he should be putting the failure on himself as the leader. He doesn't do that. There's a million, like everybody ignores the fact that you have these candidates for coordinator positions coming in to interview with this lot, and the result of the interview is it was light on football. Like, that's the guy who's going to be running your franchise, who's interviewing you.
Sounds like the Greg Hill Show.
It's light on football?
Yeah, I don't get
what?
That.
What do you mean you don't get it? It's because the depth of knowledge is not there.
It's the foot in the mouth, Greg. When he says, I can't help them when they cross the white lines. Like, we as former players know exactly what he means, but as people who've never played the game, you can't say it that way. When he says, this team is soft. We know his play is exactly what he's saying, but people who listen to him don't understand it. So he needs to put his words together in a way where we played soft, we coach soft, we got to be better. We prepare them once they step on the field. We don't have control when it comes to them
executing.
We can put them in the best position. There's way, hey, listen, this is the call that Alex Van Pelt made. We believe in Alex Van Pelt.
If God forbid you were going to go to another radio show and you did an interview with a person and the discussion during the interview was light on radio, would you be concerned about the job, the person you were going to go work for? If radio didn't come up while you're interviewing for a radio job?
Yeah, I would be concerned about that.
Okay.
But I'm just talking about where Mayo's gone wrong.
No. Where he's gone wrong is that he's not talking football with people who are interviewing for a coordinator position.
But then shouldn't we be?
I don't put that on Mayo, though. Yeah, I put that on the Glazer.
Okay,
and
so they were the ones who were light on football.
Yes,
Robin and Elliot, not Gerard.
Shouldn't have this been more on the Crafts for hiring, I don't know, better football people around a guy who's literally never done the job before?
Yeah.
I agree, Greg. He has no experience whatsoever, and it's a terrible idea for a guy in that position to learn on the job, but that's what they chose, and they didn't support him in any way. Instead, they brought in a bunch of other people who are rookies at their job.
You're in that position now, so you're going to wait another year to find out if he is the guy? While Drake May is sitting there.
But that's why the conversation about what he has said away from the field, it will be his undoing. If this was just a normal year where he, you know, takes his lumps and doesn't have to walk back everything he says, he gets another year. It's the fact that he has compounded the problem by not being the front-facing guy that people can get behind.
I would call Mike Vrabel up and give him whatever he wants. I'd give him, like, you know, one of the houses on the Cape if I had to, if I were them.
Yeah, I mean,
I would give him whatever he wants.
Blame Robert for putting people in position to run the meetings and not talk about football. So you put Robin Glazer in a position to interview candidates when it comes to football.
So in your mind, it's everybody but Mayo.
Well, he's the one getting interviewed.
What's that? It was the three of them doing the interviews. Okay.
Right, but I don't buy Mayo's not talking football. There's no way.
You never buy any report. You're like Curtis. If it doesn't back you up, you
no,
don't
I
buy
just
it.
Don't buy that.
Are doing interviews. Who was on the football part?
I'm willing to bet you Mayo's probably the only one on the football part.
Okay.
The other two talking about? Who the hell knows?
Global warming?
Clearly, if they're not talking football,
drones?
Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's what, you know, maybe, hey, we got a great we got great food services here.
We have a new football headquarters coming.
Yeah, our travel's amazing.
Aircraft.
You know, who the hell knows?
All right, we got to take a break. We are going to get only 2 days left in the 12 days of Chris Curtismas, so your chance to win big when it comes to regifting from our Grinch coming up next. Time for the 12 days of Chris Curtismas, brought to you by 110 Grill, modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere and all holiday season. Curtis has been regifting, so if you are caller number 9 right now on the contest line, you will get the gifts. The number to call is 617-931-0937, and we will see what our very own Grinch has for you in a moment as soon as we get a caller number 9. Hello, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
I just want to say a couple things. I don't know why. I mean, there's no offense. I don't know why you want Mike Vrabel so bad. He really hasn't done anything as a coach.
Yeah.
I think that they should look outside the box somewhere, try to find somebody else. And honestly,
what do you mean? He hasn't done anything as a coach?
No, he hasn't. When was the last time he made the playoffs? He got fired.
Right, because the owner forced him to trade their best receiver. He had a spat with the front office, and when he was there, he beat you here, got to an AFC championship, was the coach of the year, I think, twice.
Yeah.
Well, once, and I don't know. I don't know why you want to keep reading the same faces.
So who do you want to be the coach, Mike?
He can't get over the Super Bowl era. Find somebody new. Switch the whole franchise around.
We just tried that.
I want somebody who has some experience. So that's me. It's just me personally.
All right. So he's saying go outside of, like, the organization.
I like the tie to the organization.
You like the tie to the organization.
I think it's a good thing for the organization. I think it's a good thing football-wise, and I think it's a good thing business-wise.
Mm-hmm. So, like, Brian Flores?
I would like Brian Flores. Listen, you can wait another year. I understand the rookie coach's argument. Mm-hmm. You are just setting your quarterback back and setting your franchise back if Gerard Mayo is not going to be the guy eventually. And maybe he is. Maybe the first year, he'll get over the first year bumps in the road and be the greatest coach ever.
You're kind of not setting your quarterback back, but even if you say, all right.
Said that he set the quarterback or they set the quarterback back already this season. That's a glaring mistake in your mind.
I said because you didn't start him week one, you put
that
him behind the eight ball.
That was a glaring mistake.
Yes, that was my...
At the start of the season, right. That was a giant mistake right. In your mind that Gerard Mayo mm-hmm. or Elliot Wolf or right. Alex Van Pelt or the three of them made.
Yes.
Correct?
Huge mistake.
So they started with a huge mistake.
Yes. So the I would say, and it doesn't make it better because even if you get a new OC, now you got a whole... Drake May has to learn a whole new offense. So there's no guarantee that you're going to now be putting this guy in the right position. Even if you go on and you go on with Vrabel, now he's going to have another offensive coordinator. And hopefully the guy that you hire at the OC position is the guy that can finally, you know, be the one where you're like, oh, I like this guy. Because if not, now you're going to have to find another offensive
Do you think
coordinator.
Alex Van Pelt is the guy going forward?
No.
Okay. So
I don't think so.
Okay, so you're gonna have to do a redo there.
Yes. So that's gonna
What about Scheim?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Have you developed your play yet for Boston College?
I've started to. I've begun the development. I really want to get something unique. Like, that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out a way to make it unique in
right.
that it's not just, you know, I feel like so many different plays have been called in the NFL. I want to make it my own.
Right. What about some sort of a variation on the Statue of Liberty?
No. Yeah, no. I don't want to do, like, the annexation of Puerto Rico or anything. Right. I want, like I said, it's got to be unique. It is, however, the start. It is in the. We are starting in the pistol. Okay. So,
all right. Okay. Not in Massachusetts.
So do you want it to be a trick play?
No, I want it to be a play you can call any point, any game. Just like, you
is
know.
Is it run, pass, option?
Pass.
Like, what are you?
Pass. Okay. Play action pass.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. But you want it to be a big hitter if it does hit.
Well, yes,
Bill O'Brien. Guaranteed on this radio show that Boston College will use that play.
All right.
All right. Let me get Lizzie, who is, I think, from Watertown. Hey, Lizzie.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great, Greg. How are you?
Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited. I've been listening because my girlfriend listens to your show every single day, and she told me you got to be up and at them at 8:30, 8:45, so you can call in. So I've had my alarm set so I can call in. She's at work right now, but she's going to be so excited. She's a very big fan.
Oh, this is awesome. All right. Well, Curtis has some re-gifts for you right now, Curtis.
All right, Lizzie. I don't want to make...
Give me something good, Curtis.
For you, anything. It sounds like you're from the South, which means... You love Duval, which is where Mac Jones is from, and he signed a football with your name on it. Well, not really. He signed a football, Lizzie. So you have a Mac Jones.
Duval.
You have a Mac Jones autographed football from yours truly.
Is that it?
Perfect.
That would suffice most places.
Yeah, that's not it.
No, we have more.
Okay. Another one.
Thank you. We have a $100 gift card to the 110 Grill, which is a lovely place. They have great food, very nice environment, lovely drinks. I believe they have Corvus.
They do have Corvus vodka there. Yes, they do.
So that's for you. Coming your way, Lizzie. Okay.
Another one.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Beautiful.
I have two tickets to see my personal favorite, the Deftones,
Ooh.
At the TD Garden on April 8th.
That's a great show. Deftones at the Garden? Awesome.
That's right.
Awesome.
Another one.
Oh, ahead of yourself. Okay, we got one more. Lizzie, for you and your girlfriend and whoever else, well, just one other person, I have two tickets to see your Boston Bruins, led by Sacco, whatever the hell he pronounced his name, against the Islanders, just a couple weeks away on January 5th. And just so you know, if you're not Lizzie in Watertown, limited tickets are still available at Ticketmaster.com/Bruins. So for you, Lizzie... You have a Mac Jones autographed football, a $100 gift card to the Great 110 Grill, two tickets to Deftones at the TD Garden on April 8th, and two Bees tickets as they take on the Islanders on January 5th.
That's freaking fantastic.
Well,
we wish you the best and hope you have a great holiday season, and thank you for tuning in. I hope you will remain tuned in, even though you've already won.
I will. Thank you so much. Oh,
Merry Christmas, Lizzie.
All right. Bless your heart.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
That's what they say down south.
Yeah, those accents make everything better.
Bless your heart.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want a biscuit.
All right. I see Ty Law in the building. So we will talk Patriots and NFL, maybe even some college with the great Ty Law coming up next.